Americans are earning more money overall. And last month, the Commerce Department said we're also saving more, 5.7% of disposable income. That's near a 30-year high. But this time of year, it's also easy to spend too much. So let's bring in Michelle Singletary, who writes the syndicated personal finance column, The Color of Money, for The Washington Post. Michelle, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much.
So I want to ask you, 2017 is almost here, if you can believe that. A lot of people are thinking about putting their financial house in order. So what are, to you, the three most important things that people should be thinking about right now?
I think the end of the year is a great opportunity to look back and assess your finances. And really, I say start with your savings. What did you do for the year? Were you satisfied? That emergency fund that you've been promising yourself to put together, is it together yet? Do you need to boost it? And I also encourage people to have something called a Life Happens Fund so they're not raiding the emergency fund, which I think you should set up for when, say, you lose a job.
Right.
Secondly, take a look at your debt situation.
Well, how much did debt? Let me jump in there. The emergency savings fund. It's typically you hear, 3 to 6 months is the goal that you're looking for, but that always throws me off. I mean, there's a big difference between 3 months of your expenses and 6 months of your expenses. What do you do about that?
When you say 3 months worth of living expenses, people assume that you just mean, say, your rent or your mortgage, maybe the car payment, but it means everything it costs to run your household for a month. So whatever that number is, and you should know that number, you multiply it times 3 to 6 months. Most people, they're barely making 1 month, and 3 is, you know, a great benchmark. 6 months, I think, is for those people who have, you know, higher paying jobs, and it'll take them a little longer to find employment should they lose their job. But honestly, for the average American citizen, asking them to have 6 months of cash just sitting in an account is just not going to happen.
Exactly.
So just try to reach for the 3 months. If you've got debt, just do 1 month. If you've got job insecurity, you want to err to the side of having more rather than less.
Okay, so that brings us to number two.
Debt, debt, debt. I hate debt.
Pay it off.
Really come through the radio, right?
I think it just did.
I mean, I just want people to, if you're listening, just imagine debt. It's this big boulder on your shoulders. And forget that whole nonsense about good debt and bad debt. Mm. It's all debt. So your mortgage, your car payment, everything. And then hopefully you've spent the year trying to figure out how to reduce that debt. If you haven't, hey, new year, new effort to get rid of as much debt as you can.
And Michelle, it may seem like a really tall mountain to climb, but you can make a big difference if you just take off an extra $50 at a time, if you can spare it.
That's actually right. I tell people to write down the complete debt figure, including your mortgage, how much you owe everybody, your mama, your cousin, everybody. And then list the debts, starting with the debt with the smallest balance. Now, many experts will say go with the one with the highest interest rate. But I approach debt from a behavioral modification kind of look, you know, math over the money. Oftentimes, if you can get rid of a little debt, you are really energized. And you're like, I can do this. And then you aggressively go after the next debt. You got to have something to show for all that work. And if you're tackling the biggest debt with the biggest interest rate, it just seems like you're never going to pay it off. And oftentimes you give up. So, you know, you owe your cousin $100. Pay the cousin $100 and knock that off your list. And then systematically go. And while you're paying the debt with the lowest balance, make the minimum payment on the rest of the debt. And I've found that people become more aggressive in their debt payoff.
Okay, number three, do a net worth statement. I love that one. Tell us about that.
You know, most people have not ever really done a net worth statement. Let me ask you, Peter, have you done a net worth statement?
I have, actually. Yes, I use an app.
I use
Mint as an app that helps me keep track of that.
Most people do not, and they don't even understand what it is. You know, they might have heard of connecting with a business, but everybody should do a net worth statement. And basically, you're going to list all your assets, what, you know, your car, your house, money you've got in bank accounts, everything. And you're going to subtract from it all your liabilities, your mortgage, your car payment and everything. And then you'll see what you truly worth. Because oftentimes we focus on our income, but your income is not a great barometer of how well you're doing financially. It's your net worth statement.
How does that help us make decisions? Because when I look at my net worth statement, I try to use it just to make sure that things aren't going the wrong direction, you know? But
right.
How can people constructively use that information?
Well, for one thing, it tells you where you can access money if something happens, right? If you lose your job, where can you pull money? And then also, many people have a negative net worth, meaning they owe more than they own. Mm. And you want to get out of that position. So it gives you sort of a snapshot of what your financial life is like. And I tell you, when I meet with folks in the ministry that I run at my church, and we look at their net worth statement, a lot of them have debt, but they're not as bad off as they think they are when they look at all their assets. So it actually can be an encouragement that, hey, I am actually worth something and I'm not just all my debts.
Well, that's nice. What about retirement contributions? This time of year, there's all this conversation about, well, you should make sure that you've given all that you can give to your 401k, because
right.
a lot of people probably aren't actually giving up to the limit that they can, but there still is time, right?
There still is time, but let's just be practical. It's, you know, nobody's going to put their money in their retirement. I mean, we say these things because you kind of have to say it. It's
yeah.
the responsible thing. But the fact of the matter is you're going to be doing holiday shopping, and I think it's unrealistic to put that kind of pressure. So let's just start the new year off fresh. How much have I been putting away, and where can I cut to trim so that I can add more to my retirement account, or if you've got children, to a fund to send them to college? I recommend the 529 plan.
Mm.
And that's really what I sort of tell people. That there are a group of folks who maybe had a bonus and had some extra money at the end of the year. Sure, definitely, you know, spruce up that retirement plan. But you absolutely do need to look at whether or not you're on track. There's a website that I recommend people go to called choosetosave.org. There's a retirement calculator, because I always ask people, do you know what your number is? What's your retirement number? And what I mean by that is, how much is it going to take for you to retire and live the life that you want to live? Most people don't know their number. And if you don't, go to that website, figure out the number. Now, listen, when you get that number, it's going to scare the bejesus out of you. Like, it's just, I'm going to be honest. You're like, it's going to take your breath away. You're going to go, but please don't let that stop you from still saving, because it's better to have something rather than nothing.
Well, a lot of people might hear that and just wonder, big picture, how are they supposed to take care of their finances? I mean, it's a busy time of year. Life is just busy in general. The question comes up, and I've had it myself. You know, at what point in your life is it the right time to hire or talk to a financial advisor?
I think when you have some significant assets, you've got a healthy retirement plan, you've fully funded your emergency fund, and you're wondering, am I maximizing? I think that's a good time to hire a financial planner. I like to deal in reality. And many families who are living, you know, paycheck to paycheck don't have the $1,000 or $1,500 or even $2,000 to hire a planner. Let's just be real. And if that's the case, that's okay. Let's just focus on you saving and doing whatever you can to get rid of your debt. But at some point, when you start to get some resources and you see that your accounts are getting to the point and you're not sure what you're doing, I believe in hiring a professional to help you. I always joke, Peter, if you needed a root canal, would you do your own root canal?
Oh, no.
Probably not. Right. It's the same thing with money, but it's very counterintuitive. People don't want to pay people money to help them make money because it sort of seems like you're not, you know, using your money well. But, you know, if you find a good financial planner and you need to really do your research and make sure you find someone who's acting in your best interest, that person can help lay out a plan for you to take away a lot of the fear that many of us have when it comes time to plan for our retirement or our kids' college fund. And so, you know, my husband and I have used planners, and it's really helped us. You know, lots of times they're just co-signing on something we've done. They say, you know what, you're doing a good job, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. The takeaway, of course, if you can't hire a financial advisor, pay off your debt and save a few bucks when you can, whenever you can.
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
Michelle Singletary writes the nationally syndicated personal finance column, The Color of Money. Michelle, thank you very much.
You're so welcome.